one evening, Simon Peter, that's Pat, decided that he was going out to fish. And the other disciple said, we'll come with you. Oh, sorry, carry on. Go on then, in you get in the boat. Yeah, go on then. Spread along, some people go the other side of Peter. That's it, in the boat. Oh, I don't think we're going to see Miriam. Miriam, stand here, sweetie. You're still in the boat. Can you see her? That might be a bit tricky to do that the whole time. If she wants to stand to one side and Elliot wants to stand to the one side, they can. Okay, risk assessment, didn't want them standing on a chair. Okay, now, you need to really, really carefully, put the nets the other side of the boat. Just, can you just use your imagination and suspend disbelief for this bit? Is that okay? Thanks. So this is the other side of the boat. Okay, this is the net on the other side of the boat. They tried all night, but they didn't catch anything. Look disappointed. Now, did you see some of the children were doing this? Like fishing. Okay, but this is what they did in those days. They had these huge, huge nets that they would put in the water and then sail the boat along and then hope that they catch fish as they go along. Okay. So, not quite that, Freya, but good try. But they didn't catch anything. Let's show the disappointment again. Oh, we haven't caught anything. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Try not to lean on the boat then. Jesus stood on the shore. So look over, because you can see a person, but you don't recognise who it is. So do a bit of like, who's that then? Who's that then? He called out to them.
Friends, didn't you catch any fish?
Did you? No.
Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.
So if you put the net on the right side of the boat, okay. Now, what happened next was a miracle because Jesus is God. Obviously, I am not God. So I'd like you all to close your eyes for a minute, please. Close your eyes for a minute, please. Thank you. Someone's laughing. That must mean they've got their eyes open. Okay, open your eyes. Whoa! I was so desperate to find a magic trick that did that, but it wasn't going to work. Oh. Wow, look at all those fish. The disciples were unable to pull the net into the boat, so try really carefully, but you can't, it's too heavy. Oh, you're going to have to let it go. It's too heavy, let it go. Whew. They're unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. The Bible says, I love the Bible when it gives numbers. It's like, this is true. There were 153 large fish. They counted them. It was so amazing. They bothered to count them. 153 fish. Gee whiz. Wow. Then John said, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. Peter heard this and he jumped out and he made his way very slowly to Jesus. You can be quick, Jesus. Okay, Peter's sorry. Being slow, you're being quick. That's the best. Go back a bit. Peter's making his way to Jesus. We can't do this bit because it would be too tricky, but at the same time, the disciples don't do anything for the moment. They are bringing the boat and the big net of fish. They're bringing that near, so don't do anything because I'm really worried about it. It's not mine, it's Shine's. They're bringing the boat in. They have to be really slow because how many fish were there? How many fish? And were they tiddly-widdly-widdly ones? A they were, yeah, I caught one this big. They could literally do that. They could do that. One time a fisherman could do that and be true. Okay. Wow, look what's on the shore. When they landed, thanks, Peter. So when they landed, so come off the boat and go and stand around where Peter is, but don't go down the step, be very careful. You don't need to swim because you brought the boat in. They saw a fire burning with fish and bread on it. Jesus said,
bring some of the fish you have caught.
Okay, so wait. You go. Go and get some fish. You've already done some things. You go fish, go and get some fish. Thanks, Peter. Just really carefully, quick as you can. Just bring a few. Nathaniel, that's it. Go. Well done, Elliot. You don't have to bring them all. Off you go.
Yes,
fish. Yeah. I know, that's fine. Artistic license and all that. Oh, let's get my Bible. Amazingly, when they did that, they realised that the net wasn't torn. It looks torn. It wasn't torn in the Bible. Go on, Jesus.
Come and have breakfast.
Right, so what I want you to do, children, is leave everything, put everything down, and then come back a bit and sit down, because we must do what the Bible says. You don't help yourselves. So if you put the fish on there, Nathaniel, that's it. Well done, Lydia. Okay, and then the Bible says that Jesus took the bread and fish and gave it to them. So you don't take it for yourself. This is really important. Jesus is giving you...
Can you hold that fish very carefully?
Okay, so you can pretend to eat it, but don't put it too close to your mouth.
Hold the fish very carefully.
That's it. That's it. Don't let it touch your lips. Good acting, everybody. How delicious do you think this breakfast was? The Bible doesn't tell us, but how delicious do you think it was?
Grilled fish.
Amazing. Can everyone go, yum, yum?
Yum, yum.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, everyone. Just really carefully leave the things back on the table. And off you go back to your families. Thanks, everyone. Fabulous. And thanks, Richard. And thanks, Peter. Let me pray before Dan helps us to understand what this all means. Dear Father, we thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you that it contains the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Please help us all to listen carefully to what you want to say to us today. Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you very, very much for retelling that fantastic story from the Bible. So as Jeanette asked, what does it all mean? What does it all mean? The disciples fishing, unable to catch anything, and then Jesus comes along and wow, what a big catch. Well, we are right at the end of the book of John. He's been teaching us how our loving God sent Jesus, his son, to come and save the world, save us from sin and death, and bring us back to God. And that's where we belong. And Jesus did this by, do you remember, dying on a cross so that we can be forgiven. And because he paid for our sins. And then 3 days later, what happened? He rose again. And John writes this. I'll put it on the screen. These things are written that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you would have life in his name. Which is just what the world needs, isn't it? Life, forever life with God. Some might say the greatest need of the world is, I don't know, peace. There's so much horrible war in the world, ruining lives. Some might say that the greatest need in the world is an end to poverty, to hunger. There's so many people hungry this morning. They haven't got any food. But John has been teaching us that the world's greatest need is forgiveness. Because forgiveness brings us this life, this forever life with God. And who's the only one who can give it? It's a clue on the screen. Who's the only one who can give us this forever life? Jesus. Is that what you're going to say, Florence? Yes, thank you very much. Jesus. So who does the world need to hear about? Jesus. Yeah. You see, the world is very hungry for God. The world is very hungry for God's word, his message. Banbury is hungry. Our schools are hungry. Our workplaces are hungry. And just like Jesus feeds the disciples on the beach, Jesus wants to fill hungry hearts, empty and hungry hearts, with the best news of all, forgiveness and forever life with him. And that's why Jesus came. That's why he died on a cross. But what now? Jesus has died, he's risen. That's what we've been learning in John. But what happens next? What are the disciples supposed to do now? What are you and I, what are we supposed to do now? Well, that's what this final chapter is helping us to see. You see, Jesus' disciples, do you remember the friends in the boat? Well, they're the church now. And the church are people who believe and follow Jesus. And here is showing the disciples what's next for the church. So two things for us to learn in John 21. Following Jesus means fishing. Following Jesus means fishing. Now, I don't mean, where's my net? Where's the finder? I don't mean get your fishing rod and go down to the local river. Of course not. So what do I mean? Well, one day, right back at the beginning, when Jesus began his work, he was walking along Lake Galilee, just the same lake as we're talking about today. And he sees two brothers, Peter and Andrew, and he goes up to them and said, and they were fishing, by the way, or mending their net, whatever they were doing, they were fishing, their normal jobs. And he saw them throwing their net into the sea, and Jesus said, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of people. Follow me, I will make you fishers of people." In other words, until now, your job's been to catch fish, to get your fishing rod, to get your net and go onto the water. But now your job will be to fish for people, to do what I do and tell them about God's kingdom and to follow me. So listen to this, folks. The church is in the business of fishing. We're a fishing business. It's true. When we're together week by week, we are growing in our understanding, our faith in Jesus. But when we go out into our week, it's like we get into our boat and we go fishing. We go fishing. And we tell people about Jesus and how wonderful he is. And many of us here are here because someone, a Christian, a follower of Jesus, told them about Jesus. So have a think for a minute. Who tells me about Jesus? Who told me the first time about Jesus? And that was because they were fishing. They shared the good news about Jesus. For example, our old treasurer, Simon, he was talking to someone at work about Jesus. And after a while, he brought her along to one of our Christianity Explore groups. And she became a Christian. And now she attends our evening service. It's lovely, isn't it? And in our Bible reading this morning, Jesus shows his disciples again how to fish. And he reminds them that that's their job now. He's going back to his Father in heaven. You are to be fishers of people. But does that mean the fishing's all up to me? Does it mean it's up to me if my friend becomes a Christian or not? No. Now remember, what happened in our Bible reading? How did the disciples catch all those fish? Was it on their own?
Got away.
Am I on my own here? Am I on my own? Who caught all the fish, really? Who did? Jesus. All those nets, the nets were empty, weren't they? And then Jesus came along, and suddenly we had all those fish, which were now over there. All those fish. So when Jesus got involved, all the fish came in. So we are to be fishermen. We're to go out on our boats. But all we're doing is throwing our net into the sea, lowering our hook into the water. But it's up to Jesus. It's up to the Lord, up to God, whether someone takes the bait and wants to know more. Yes, we pray. Of course we do. We're told to pray that people would come. And we're to go fishing. But we cannot change someone's heart. Only God can do that. That's his job. So who's the only one who can change hearts? It's such a relief, isn't it, to know that. That when someone becomes, whether someone comes a Christian or not, it's God's work. But you and I need to remember to follow Jesus means fishing, telling people about Jesus, inviting them to come and hear about Jesus.
So the reading is John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, and that's found on page 1090. That's John 21, 15 to 17. Page 1090. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Richard. Great to be able to see those words in the Bible. We've been thinking about the church, Christians and you and me. We've been thinking about, forgotten already. It begins with F. Fishing, thank you. Going out with our rods and nets and telling people about Jesus, sharing what he has done in our lives, a bit like what we did right at the beginning of the service. But young ones, when you were helping Jeanette tell the story earlier, can you remember what happened when they came back to shore? What did Jesus do for the disciples? What did he do? Say that again, Freya. That he gave them food. Yeah, breakfast. Thank you. You see, if we're to be a church who's able to go fishing for new disciples, we need to grow. We need to be fed so that we could do that. But what are we to be fed with? Kippers? Let me show you this Bible verse. Matthew chapter 4 says this, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So what are we being fed with, folks? God's word. God's word, the Bible, is to be our food, says Jesus, which means reading the Bible is more important than the food you get on your tables, your kitchen tables this morning. And that is why at St. Paul's we make sure that the Bible is at the center of everything we do, whether it's Sparklight. Who's in Sparklight? So one of you, two of you, three of you, a few of you anyway, in Sparklight, the hand at the back. Yes, sparklights. We have the Bible, don't we? It's sparklights. Or laser. You know, if we're in laser, the Bible is at the centre of what we do in laser. And in our grow groups, who's in a grow group? A home group. That's most of us. That's fantastic, hands down. So we have the Bible. We gather around the Bible so that we can grow in our knowledge of God, so that we can grow in our love of God. So let's look at the Bible again, that reading that we had. And verse 15, Jesus instructs his disciples, I'll put it on the screen actually, when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon son of John, listen to this, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And then what did Jesus say? Feed my lambs. Later on he says, feed my sheep. So following Jesus means fishing and feeding. Fishing and feeding. Next slide. Jesus has died and risen again. And now where's Jesus going? He's going back to his Father. He's getting the church ready here to get on with Jesus' work. He's going, I'm giving you some work to do. I want you to be fishing and feeding my sheep. Remember, God's food is the word of the Bible. Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep with the Bible, with the word. And in chapter 21, we see Peter and John are to do this because the church is going to be built on their words. The words of the apostles, the disciples, which is the New Testament. So you're holding the words of Peter and particularly John at the moment, and one or two other disciples. So that makes us the apostolic church. We say that in our creeds, the apostolic church. We stand on the words that Jesus gave his disciples. But in a Bible reading, did you notice, who are Jesus' lambs? Who are the lambs? Who are the sheep? We are us, that's right. We're the lambs, we're the sheep. We're the church, God's people. So we're in the Bible reading. We've got the disciples running in onto the shore and so on. But in the distance, you can just imagine bleating sheep on the hills. That's us, we're the sheep. And in these days, when Jesus uses this picture of, he used a picture of hunger, of food. It's in the days where food's quite rare. You weren't quite sure where your next meal's going to come from. So people got hungry quite a lot. And it would hurt their tummies. And so it was quite a serious thing to be hungry. And Jesus, it showed us that we were fragile, that we were, we could die if we didn't have food. And so Jesus is using these words for a very good reason. God's word is essential for living. Without God's food, spiritually, we can die. We can be out of friendship with God, or we can become dangerously ill. The adults might remember when Jesus saw the people of Israel following him, lots of crowds. We read that he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed food. They were hungry spiritually. So what's going to happen when Jesus is gone, when he's gone back to his Father in heaven? Where is this life, this food, going to come from? What have we been learning? Where's this food going to come from? I haven't done my job. God's word. And who's going to bring God's word to people? Peter and John, and then who else? What are we holding in our... Us, the church. Yeah. So we're going to be involved in this feeding. We're going to be feeding each other. And it won't be easy, actually. In Peter, in chapter 21, we find out that Peter will suffer because he's doing this job of fishing and feeding. And many of the other apostles, too. So as I finish, in order to be good fishermen and women, how are we going to feed on God's word? How are we going to feed the sheep? Well, first of all, we can pray for our leaders, our Bible teachers, can't we? For people like Steve and myself, that we would keep reading the Bible, working at it, to explain it on a Sunday. But also for our Sunday school teachers, our Sunday club teachers like Jeanette, for our Bible study teachers in our grow groups, and you younger ones, you know, praying for your parents as they read the Bible at home, helping them to understand it and helping us to understand it. But as a church family, we're to feed each other. And we do this in grow groups, but we can do this when we meet up in the week, can't we? Pointing each other to God's goodness, his love, in his word. Actually, sometimes we can talk about anything and everything, can't we? But it'd be really great if more and more we point people to God's love and God's word and using his word. That's what I found quite helpful, the Real Change course. It reminded us to bring God's word to each other in good times and in difficult times. And even we can do this on Sundays after the sermon. When we finish and having a coffee, we can say, how are you encouraged this morning? Or we can share something we're struggling with, and we can help someone by sharing God's word and encourage them in that. So, folks, who wants to come and remind us what we're doing this coming week? Who wants to come and stand behind this boat as I finish? So as you go to your school, you get to get into your fishing boat. Yeah? Well done, Florence. We're going fishing this week. We're going to our schools, we're going to see friends, we're going to our workplaces, and we're going to be fishing, telling people, sharing the good news about, don't touch, about Jesus. Yes. And then, hopefully, they'll take the bait, they'll jump in the net, and then we'll take them and we'll help feed. So let's all go over to breakfast. Come on, follow me, said Jesus. Oh, don't worry. Come and follow me. It's all right. Nothing's broken. And we get it. And we'll feed on God's word. We get to feed on God's word. It's quite simple, isn't it? Fishing and feeding. So let me pray. Listen. Loving God, there's lots of hungry people around us. They so need to hear your wonderful good news. So, Lord, please continue to grow us in love for you, that we would go fishing day by day, that others would hear about you and come and feed on your word. And in Jesus' name, amen.